For anyone who I've not managed to get to say hello to yet, my name is Amy. I'm married to the gorgeous Johan sitting there in his hat. We've recently come to join Unity Church. Yay! So I'm very much looking forward to getting to know everyone so much better because we are family. And I feel like this is all like some very old, very loved family members who've been here a long time ahead of us, who we know and love desperately. But many of you we don't. So we look forward to getting to know you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to just dive into the word today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we are here simply because of you. That we are family because of you. That we are loved because of your love. I ask now that everything that's of me will be lost and go. Everything of you will be kept. Lord, that this will be your words this morning, that you will come, Holy Spirit, that you will come move now in your power. That we're here for you. In the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. And we're going to look this morning at the Spirit-filled life. And I'm going to read in a moment from a passage in Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles or your phone, you want to find Ephesians, you can grab that now. It's going to be Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. But just while you're looking that up, if you want to go through it with us, while I'm talking this morning, I'm going to be jumping around quite a lot. I'll be pulling out other verses, mainly from Ephesians. I'm going to be a bit like a bingo caller. So if I'm shout out, yes, and in 4:13, just assume I mean Ephesians, because that's kind of that's where I'll be working from mainly. If there's anything different, I'll let you know. So if you are a note taker and if you want to follow up these things later and say, well, it's all very well she says this, but I want to read it in the Bible, then note down the numbers, or you can talk to me afterwards and just say, Amy, give me that again, so you can just sit back and enjoy the flow if you're not a note taker. But yeah, Amy the bingo caller. So Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I'm taking from the main bit, right from the middle there, from verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Because that's the heart of what we're looking at this morning. I want to talk about the Spirit-filled life. It's so easy to read these things. And in fact, all the way through all of Paul's letters in the New Testament, he says this again and again and again. This is the passage that Dave picked out for us this morning. But he could have pretty much jumped into any of the books written by Paul, written by the other apostles in the Bible, and they would have been saying, be filled with the Spirit, live the Spirit-filled life. So it's so important. But it's easy to read that and then just slip by, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough, but not really think about it or go much further. But so really today we just want to say, well, what is it? What does the Spirit-filled life mean? What does it look like? How do we know if someone is living the Spirit-filled life? What is it? And then also, how do we get there? What do we need to do? How do we become this Spirit-filled person that is being described? And I'm going to make some big assumptions before I go any further. This is part of a series of teaching that Dave and others have been giving on the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to go back and cover all of their points that they've kind of built up so far. This is sort of another brick on the layer of the teaching that we've been having. If you haven't heard them, log into the website, have a listen to them. If you can't work that out, talk to Dave. He'll find them for you. So I'm making the assumptions that we agree, or at least understand, that the Holy Spirit is God. That he is a person, a personality, which means somebody we can communicate with and have a relationship with. That when you become a Christian, that when you say, Jesus Christ, I follow you, I belong to you, that a part of the Holy Spirit is put in you, like Paul calls it a deposit, who stays in within you always. But that's just the beginning, that there is more. And to live a fully Spirit-filled life takes us a lot further. And in the Greek, and I'm not going to go big Bible study on you today, I'm going to come out with lots of stuff, and you can say to me afterwards, prove it. What? How do you know? Because I'm going to come out with just stuff that I've studied and found out, but this isn't a Bible study this morning. So you can say later, show me, talk to me. But I'm telling you from study that in the Greek, this be filled that Paul uses here, it has four kind of meanings within it. The be filled is a command. The term that he uses in the Greek isn't if you feel like it. It's not an optional extra. It's a command held in the use of language he gives. It's not negotiable. It's plural. The be filled that he uses in the Greek, it means for everybody. It doesn't just mean one or two people or just the people he's writing to here. It means everyone be filled with the Spirit. The term is passive. That just means that it means let the Holy Spirit fill you. You can't make it happen. You have to allow it to happen. And we'll break this down a bit later. And also, it's present tense. It's a continuous word. The be filled doesn't mean just be filled once and then that's it, you're sorted for life. But it's an ongoing, continuous be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. It's like breathing in and out. When we're born and we get given the good old slap to get us going, to get us breathing, that's how it used to be anyway. I don't know if that's the same now. But when you're born, you start to breathe. You take in air. And then have a good old yell, hopefully. But the midwife doesn't say, well done, you've had your breath. You're sorted now. That'll keep you going for the rest of your life. What? Well, no, because, you know, we breathe continuously if we want to live. We breathe the Spirit. We take the Spirit in continuously if we want to live the Spirit-filled life. It's an ongoing, continuous thing. So what does it look like? What is being filled with Spirit like? Well, simply put, it is to be like Jesus. We are filled with the Spirit to become like Jesus. And that doesn't mean wandering around in a robe and sandals. It means his character. It means that we become mini Jesuses walking this earth. It's about his love. Absolutely everything starts and ends with love. Being filled with the Spirit is a life lived in and through love. It's being Jesus in my situation, whatever my situation is. I am not a 30-something Mediterranean man wandering around Israel. I am a something woman living in Orpington. But how is Jesus? How would Jesus be if he were walking my steps right now? How would Jesus be if he were a single man in the situation that you are in right now? If you were a young woman still in school going through what you're going through right now? That's what the Spirit creates in us. He makes us Jesus in our situations. But it's all about love and showing the character of Jesus' love. It means we are joyful. It's all behind me on the heart there. We had the big preach on fruits of the Spirit. It means we are joyful. Yay. Yeah, nice try. It means we are kind. We are patient. We are peaceful. We don't worry. Thanks, Lydia. We don't worry. We are peaceful. We are humble. No arrogance in the church. Thank you very much. We are faithful. We are gentle, we are good, we are self-controlled. Yikes. In 5, 1 and 2, Paul tells us to live as dearly loved children. He says, live a life of love. just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering. When we live the Spirit-filled life, we live like Christ for one another. It means we live sacrificially for one another. It means we love one another. Now, I said, first of all, I don't know most of you that well yet. But my job now here, because we've been placed here, is to learn you, to know you and to love you as Christ loved his church. It means that I am being called to live sacrificially for you. I don't know what that's going to look like, and I know that's going to cost me in my time and my energy and my patience. Goodness knows what else. But that's what we're called to do for one another. That's what we are. It's that living a life of love. It means that I put your needs before mine. Yikes. It means that I am humble before you. It means I submit to what Jesus wants. That I am your servant because Jesus came to be ours and then became our king. Verse 21, submit to one another. That's a whole other preach. Dave will deal with that another time. It's massive. When we live a Spirit-filled life, we speak encouragement to one another. We build one another up. That's why we're talking about the prophetic. In that verse there, in verse 19, it's really funny. I have to put my glasses on now to read it. In verse 19 where it says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. That doesn't actually mean that we come into Fridge on a Saturday and go, hello, Liz, God loves you. I'm singing in the Spirit for you. Because that's really not going to build you up. It's just going to make her laugh and spit her coffee across the table. But what it means is encouragement. It's we build one another up in the Spirit. That's why we pray for the prophetic. Because when the Holy Spirit nudges us and speaks to us, he says, give Ray that Bible verse. I'm like, oh, I don't know. All right. Here you go, Ray. I don't know what's going on in Ray's life, but more often than not, that's when it goes kaboom. And Ray says, you have no idea because that has just spoken into what I need. That's encouragement. That's about speaking to one another, giving one another. This obviously moves into action as well, but I'm not talking about actions today. But how we live, we encourage one another. When we're Spirit-filled, we encourage one another as a church first. And then we take that encouragement out to the world. And we take that love and that encouragement to those who don't yet know Jesus. That's what a Spirit-filled life looks like. We flow with his leading. We have wisdom. Verse 15 and 17. 15 said, be wise. Verse 17 said, understand what the Lord's will is. When we are living a Spirit-filled life, we walk in wisdom. It means that when we open the Bible, it speaks to us. It jumps out at us. Someone, I forget who it was, but they said, it bites you on the bum. And it really does at times. You're like, whoa. But the wisdom is, it doesn't just speak to us, but we do as we're told. We then obey. And that's then when it hits the ground. That's when it gets tricky. It's very easy to follow, to read Jesus talking in the Gospels. He says some really hard things. Love your enemies. We can read that and go, yeah, yeah, that's great. Well done, Jesus. Yeah. You, Iris, you have to love your enemies. I'm not going to. It's easy to say and it's easy to agree with, but not necessarily to do. Unless we're Spirit-filled. Unless we're living in love. And then God gives us that power to do, to obey. I've already mentioned the prophetic, but we hear the Holy Spirit. When we are wise, we hear his voice, we hear his nudges. And we follow that and we obey. We are in constant communication. We're told to pray always, to thank always, to pray always. And you think, well, that sounds exhausting. But actually, with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, it's not, because we rest in that. We don't just make do with our big breakfast of spending time with God, maybe for half an hour in the morning, and then make that last all the way until bedtime, and then we have a little prayer at bedtime, a little follow-up, how did we do today? Oh, yeah, that was all right, that was dreadful. Thank you, God, for a bed. Sleep. We don't just have those two times, but actually we're snackers. You know, I talk about different people. Mass probably knows more about, you know, healthy eating and all this and what you should eat and not. And some people tend to have a big dinner and then that's it. Other people kind of snack through the day. Well, with the Holy Spirit, we snack through the day. We have our big meals, but we also snack. We have that constant communication. Lord, what do you want in this situation? How are we doing? Oh, thank you for this. Wow, that tree is gorgeous. Well done, God. Ongoing communication with him throughout the day. And that feeds through into worship and thankfulness. Because the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. The more we're going to worship him. When we worship, it gives us freedom. When we worship, it puts things into right perspective, which then feeds back into our wisdom. We have joy. When we are spirit-filled, we live with joy, which is different from happiness. We can be incredibly sad and grieving and still know joy. I have had an experience of that myself very powerfully many years ago when I was going through the most horrendous time, and I was frankly suicidal. And in fact, my mum was due to pop round and we were going to go to a little cafe because she was just going to get me out of the house. And I knew that I'd have to face people and we were going to meet up with someone. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And mum was downstairs going, are you coming? And I sat on my bed. I was like, Lord, I can't do it. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit gave me, all I can describe it as, is golden bubbles. I just had a sense of these bubbles of gold just rising up in me, lifting me and giving me joy. Joy beyond my situation. Joy the beyond description, beyond my understanding. Nothing changed in my situation. I was still incredibly sad and I was still grieving. And I was still, frankly, suicidal. But I had, at that moment, I had joy. And it lifted me and took me through. And that morning, we had a lovely morning and a really nice time. We even laughed about some stuff. The Holy Spirit, we walk in his power and his joy. And it gives us freedom. This picture speaks to my heart so powerfully. Because this is us with our Father God. We stand on his shoulders. And everything actually is his work, not ours. We have complete freedom. And we know, I know this family, this is my godson. And I know for a second that he's there and he's like, I can do this. And he's like, look at me, I'm so tall and I'm so great, I'm so strong. But we know it's his dad that's tall and great and strong. And if he wobbles and falls, his dad's going to catch him. In fact, at one point he decided to do a backflip and his dad caught him quick. His dad's arms are there. We have that freedom. We don't have to care what people think because my dad's got me. You think I'm a fool? Good, because my dad has got me and he loves me. You tell me that what I think is wrong with the world is doesn't like us and is going to not like us a lot more as time goes on. And we're going to have to say, I'm really sorry I offend you. But my dad's got me. I don't care because I'm free in him. When troubles come, we have peace. We can rest in him. There are opportunities for him to provide. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am foolish, he is wise. When I fail, he picks me up and he tosses me off and he says, I love you. You're my beloved child. It's okay. I forgive you. Now get back up on my shoulders and let's go. When we are spirit-filled, we walk in power. I've deliberately left to the last of our when we are spirit-filled things because quite often you can visit a church and they're all about the power. They're seeking miracles and they're seeking healings and they're seeking the big tingle. And I, frankly, too, am seeking God to heal more and seeking to see miracles because I want to see him glorified on this estate. I want to see him glorified amongst us, but not because I want us to go, hey, look at us, miracles happen here, we're the God people. It's because I want God glorified. But quite often we seek power before we have the character. And we need to be, first of all, that it's back to love. Everything has to come in and through love. But when we are flowing in the Spirit, when we are Spirit-filled, when we are in the fullness of the Spirit, when we pray, we will see answers. Because that's God's promise. when we pray, and I have to give this caveat, in his will. Don't pray for a Mercedes unless God tells you you can, because otherwise he ain't going to answer it. Sadly. But it won't happen. But when we pray according to his will, he will answer us. And when we are filled with the Spirit and flow of the Spirit, we'll know what his will is, and then we'll know what to pray for. We will see miracles and healing. We will see people saved. We will see lives on this estate restored. We will see lives redeemed. We will see people healed. Can I get an amen to that? Yes. Thank you. God. It's so easy at this point for you to say, yeah, I know that sounds lovely and I know it's in the Bible, but it can't be done. It's not attainable. Matthew 19:26, Jesus' words, with God all things are possible. We might not be living in the fullness of the Spirit in this moment, but we can. This is not a, we'll get this when we get to heaven. This is possible and available to us now. Paul and the disciples were not special cases. They were given special jobs to do, yes, but they were no different from us. They were human beings who got grumpy and got the flu and got the runs and sneezed and laughed and cried and got itchy bits. They were normal, ordinary humans. In 6:9, we are told, Paul says, God does not have favourites. If you think God's got a favourite, if you think God loves Dave better than you, no. Same. No favourites. And back to the beginning, be filled, it's a command. But I want to encourage all of us because this is ongoing. 4:15, Paul says, we will grow. We will grow to become mature in every way, attaining the fullness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This is a process. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and be fully Spirit-filled unless God chooses that. Miraculously, it could happen. It could. More often than not, it's a process and we grow. I wanted to show you this as an example. This is me. This huge, massive diamond. It's real, by the way. I am a multi-millionaire. It's real. Yes. Yeah. You can mug me later. I am saved. I am redeemed because I belong to Jesus. But I am also in the process of being made glorious to be like Jesus. He tells me I'm his precious jewel, so I am. And I shine for him. If the sun was out today, we'd have little beams and bouncing all over the place right now. But the problem is there's still stuff in my life that's stopping me, that's stopping the Spirit from flowing as fully as he would choose. I care about my comfort too much. I do. I still care about being comfy rather than sacrificing everything. There's a bit of an issue with my bank balance. I'm thinking, well, Lord, I'll give you everything, but don't I need to keep some savings just in case? What do you want to do with... Well, I don't know. There's a little bit of issue with forgiveness maybe here. There's maybe somebody who I still haven't quite totally sorted out with yet. There's things. But this is ongoing. Because I'm hungry for more. I want more. I don't know about you, but I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to live a different life. I look at the life I live now, and it's okay, you know? But I want more. This isn't enough. I want to see more of the Holy Spirit. I want to know him better. And if you don't, that's fine. But I really, really do. And I'm prepared to stand here and be a fool in front of you and say, I desperately want more of God. I want to know him better than I do now. I want to love him better than I do now. I want to see the Holy Spirit flowing through me and through Johan and I as a couple in our lives. I want us to shine for Jesus more than we do now. So how? How do we get to that point? How do we become fully Spirit-filled? And it's back to love again. Always, it's about love. The whole of the Bible, the whole heartbeat of the Bible is love. From the Old Testament, from the opening passage in Genesis through to the Revelation, heartbeat is love right through. If you don't know your Bible so well yet and you say, but I thought the Old Testament was an angry God and the New Testament is a loving God. No, that's rubbish. It's not true. Grab someone who knows their Bible and say, show me. Get them to show you. God is love all the way through. God's love for us is so great. I mean, think of the story that Jesus told of the son who stole his dad's inheritance and ran away to squander all the money. He basically told his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead because I want your money now. Give me money now and I'll go off. Got himself into all kinds of trouble, all kinds of mess. Lost all his money. Thought, I'll go back to my dad, but I'll just say, Dad, just let me be a servant in your house. But I just want to come, you know. He didn't know that his dad had been watching for him every single day out the window, desperate for his son boy to come back, desperate for his son to come back. He saw his boy from a distance and his boy was coming back and his boy was like, I'll just say I'm sorry and I don't deserve anything. I'm not worthy. Just let me be a servant in your house. His dad didn't even let him get the words out. He ran down the road. He charged. He grabbed his son. His son stank. He'd been working with pigs. He was covered in manure. He hugged his boy and he said, you're home. And as his boy tried to say, look, I'm sorry. He's like, I know. It's forgotten. Forgiven. Let's give you a bath. Let's get you washed. Let's get you some fresh clothes. Let's have a party because my boy is home. That's the kind of love that God has for us. Dave spoke about the cross this morning. He loves us that much. He died for us. We don't turn to Christ. We don't become Christians because he gives us what we need. We come to him because we are sinners and we are not worthy. But he loves and adores us and he chose to do that for us so we could know the love of the Father. And the more that we grasp this, the more that we know God's love, the more that we are able to understand and to have the Holy Spirit come fill us, because we need to understand that love first and foremost. That's the heart. And the more we understand that love, the more God then deals with the rest of us. This is a sticking point for me. I still don't quite, even though I'm preaching about this morning and I believe it, but there's a little part in me that still goes, does God really love me that much? Really, really, really? I still haven't grasped it. Like, I'm not living in the freedom of that. And so I'm yearning. I'm saying, Lord, show me more, show me more. Let me understand your love. Because when we get that, that then flows. Because out of that love, we then worship. The time we spend in the Bible is joyful. The time we spend praying and resting in him is because out of love for him. Not because we have to or because it does us good or because we want to get more clever. It's because we love him, so we want to get to know him. It gives us an eternal perspective that this life isn't all there is. I just love Daryl's prayer about, I have a home. Yeah. Housing here is pretty rubbish. Daryl knows it, but he knows he has a home in heaven. He has that eternal perspective. He is loved and adored. Daryl is precious. Daryl is a diamond. And the more he knows he's loved, the more he can worship. The more we worship, the more we can surrender. The more we can say, Lord, you are the Lord of everything. It's costly to live this way, but it's worth every moment. And then at the right time, God gently deals with this stuff. He says, Ames, right, it's time we talked about this. This is coming off now. I need you to steal something. Sometimes I need to obey for this to happen. And God says, test me. During lockdown, those of you who know me know I am not a morning person. Ever. Never have been. I would love to be. If you want to pray that over me, Lord, make her a morning person. I'm so not. If I could get up about 9, that would suit me. During lockdown, God said to me, you're getting up at 6 and you're going to offer prayer to anyone who wants to log in with you on Zoom at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was like, yeah, no. He said, do it. Surrender to me. When he did that, I surrendered. And what's come out of it has been phenomenal. Relationships, movement, it's come, it's gone. I'm still doing it on Thursday mornings. I log in, and whoever wants to come and pray, prays on a Thursday morning. And God is moving and blessing that. But I had to surrender my comfort. But boy, is he moving. He will say, time to heal that wound. You've been carrying it too long from your childhood. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to heal you from that wound. And gradually, as this happens, the more we learn how we are loved, the more we then worship, the more we are then free in him. It goes in a circle. The freer we are, the more we love. The more we love, the more we know him, the more we worship. The more we worship, the more we're filled with the Spirit, the freer we become. The freer we become, the more we learn about him, the more we trust him, the more it goes round and round and round and grows and grows and grows. Constant, ongoing being filled. Is it scary? It can be, but we're in God's hands. If you say to me, but Amy, I'm too old. I've been this the way I am too long. Can't change now. Just check for a minute. Are you breathing? Do you have a pulse? That means you're not too old. You say, Amy, I'm too young. No, sooner the better. Dive in. What will people think? Who cares? What does God think? That's what matters. It's too costly. Well, that's between you and him. But I would say, actually, he gave everything for us. Everything. Why should I give him what costs me nothing? I'm going to stop. I don't know if I've managed to speak God's love into your heart or not this morning. I don't even know if I've skipped my notes or not. This really is life and death. This is where the rubber hits the road. We can be saved and we can just float along as happy Christians and just chat to God when we feel like it. But there's so much more. And I just confess to you that I've been drifting. I've been living Spirit-filled, but not in the fullness of the Spirit. And I want more. And I pray that you do too. Because that's the only way that we are truly going to live like Jesus. And nothing else is worth it. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Just him. And learning to love him and learning to see him, that he is more real to us than the world around us. That's what he's calling us to. So I'm going to shut up. I'm going to pray. And then going to let Dave, because he's the boss, let him take over. So, Lord Jesus, we surrender. It's all about you and your love. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to each of us where you want us to take the knee and yield to you. Those of us that still struggle to grasp how much we are loved, I ask for a revelation today and throughout this week. I ask for an outpouring, a revelation of your love. Speak into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls. Lift our spirits. Thank you that you are the provider of our needs. Thank you that you are good. But Lord, we offer you ourselves. Come move, Holy Spirit. Amen.